Hello and welcome to episode 186 of the 6-1 IndyCast. My name is Mike Toundro. Tonight I am joined by Kyle Stevenson. It's a My Kai Kai show.
How you doing, Mike?
I stumbled on your name. I'm doing tired. That's why I stumbled on your name.
Mike, it's totally fine. Mike Toundro. That was bad. That was terrible. Let's move on.
I'm fine. It's, you know, it's April. I feel like I'm still coming down from PAX and like showcase production and stuff.
Which is wild that it's like officially like a month away or a month past it.
By the time people are listening to this, when it's public, it's 1 month.
That's insane.
It both feels like yesterday and 20 years ago.
Yeah. And I don't know about you, but I'm already freaking out about the next one.
Ah, no, the next one's going to be great.
It's going to be great. I just mean like doing it all over again.
Ah, it's going to be fine. Did you see the email we got about the next one today? It's going to be great.
Definitely
it's be a good time. but that's far away. For now, you are listening to the 6-1 IndyCast, a weekly video game podcast amplifying the indie scene and smaller games outside of the AAA space. New episodes drop each and every Monday morning on all major podcast feeds and youtube.com/61indy. Supporters on patreon.com/61indy can tune in live as we record, just like Silcanet, and gain access to Clocked Out, the IndyCast post show. But if money is tight, no worries. You still can show your support with a simple click. Wherever you're listening, go ahead and leave this podcast a review. Follow 6-1 Indy on socials, subscribe and hit the bell on YouTube. Follow on Twitch and tell your friends all about us. Shout out to the P fans supporting on Patreon: Brett Griffin, Kobe Cortis, Ellie, JC, Jill Grote, Marcus Johnson, Marcus O'Neill, Nicholas Johnson, Nicole Humphrey, Play Jason, Silcanet, The Compound, and Cole, aka The Good Sir. On our list, I need to move Marcus and Nicholas away from each other because I always trip up on both of their last names for whatever reason.
No, I get it.
I know them. Anyways, a little bit of housekeeping. Like we mentioned, the 6-1 Indy showcase is officially 1 month old. If you haven't seen it yet, go on 6-1indy.com/showcase. Check it out. Watch the interviews, play the demos, wishlist the games, all that good stuff. We'll have news on both the next showcase and the Indie Game Awards in the coming weeks-ish, months, time.
Sure. I mean, there's a specific, you know, special day that you might want to circle.
Which is on a weekend this year.
Is it?
Yeah. Which, like, cool. Like, if we're around, we could just stream all day if we want to.
Fair.
So we'll figure it out.
All right.
June 1st, 6-1 day. and a weird piece of housekeeping. We are allowed to tell you that we are currently playing another Crab's Treasure. That's all we could tell you, though. The next IndyCast is going to be our Another Crab's Treasure review. That's not spoiling the embargo or anything. The next episode is going to be recorded when the game is out. So that's going to be the next episode of IndyCast. So if you have questions, please send them in via the 6-1 Indy Discord community or the public post on patreon.com/61indy. How do you get to the Discord? Go to 6-1indy.com, scroll all the way down. You'll see a Discord logo.
Yeah. Hey, what else is going on over on that YouTube channel, though, Mike?
Oh, we've been trying to get a little better on some Let's Plays. We're trying to get back into the flow of like getting some like fun gameplay commentary stuff. We did some quick time-sensitive ones for Hades and Among Ashes. Me and Kyle knocked those out, but the rest of the team are going to be on some other ones coming up. Mm-hmm. We already have one in the pipeline for Children of the Sun and Claw Machine Sim. And We will have some Another Crab's Treasure stuff as well, because obviously it's going to be the next biggie for the launch next week. Mm-hmm. So go check it out on youtube.com/61indy and spread the word. Let's get those numbers up. Help us
out. Let's hit 1,000 subscribers before the next showcase. That'd be rad. Hey, I'm back.
Another piece of housekeeping. Zencaster, our recording device, might be a little funky tonight. We're going to blip in and out. We'll figure it out. It's going to be a fun ride.
All your listeners, you're good.
Sure.
Hopefully.
Oh, Christ. Kyle, hit me with some quick fire news if you must. Or if you like.
Yeah, I definitely do. I want to hit you with the quick fire
Please
news.
Please hit me. Put me
PlayStation
in bed.
Did the thing again.
Oh,
they
yeah?
They updated on Twitter and the blog about some indie updates.
Great.
Because... you know how much we love that here at 6-1 Indy when they do that. Only a trio, but a confirmation that Darkest Dungeon 2 is coming to PlayStation on July 15th.
Massive.
Which is awesome.
Huge.
I dabbled in the first one and dug it, but it was way too overwhelming and very hard for me. But I enjoy those types of games. And I know Guess Darkest what? Dungeon is that game.
Yeah.
So
the second one, more overwhelming and exactly. more daunting.
So I'm excited to check it out because it's definitely some of my favorite, most stylized games or game series out there. We've got Five Nights at Freddy's Help Wanted 2 coming on June 20th.
That's real.
A PSVR 2 joint, so enjoy that if that's your thing. And then a gameplay trailer for V Rising coming to PlayStation. No specific date, just says 2024. I know this was this has like a cult following on PC, correct?
Yeah, it's pretty damn massive on Steam. Honestly, I've never really seen it in action. It's just a name that I've heard countless times. I think it's a isometric action RPG, if I believe.
I think so. And I also think survival stuff building. In there.
Yeah. People love it. People adore it. Stoked to see it's making the move to console.
Yeah.
Because it's currently in early access. So I imagine whenever 1.0 drops, that's when that's happening. So they didn't talk about 1.0 yet. Oh, wait.
Yep.
V Rising 1.0 update full reveal.
Oh, was that in there? I didn't see that when I...
No, it's on a blog. It's hitting 1.0 May 8th.
Okay.
So...
The day before the big day.
May 7th is gnarly, May 8th is now gnarly, and of course, May 9th is a nightmare.
Which we'll get into in a very quick second.
Yeah.
But that was PlayStation. And I love that they're bringing more indies and focused indies on the platform, but... Obviously, we've talked about it ad nauseum at this point. Not our favorite way to spread the word.
I totally missed this morning. Like, I'm usually good at catching these tweets.
Yeah.
Totally missed it.
It kind of like popped up and because they didn't do like, hey, in the next hour, here are three of these. They just dropped it all at once.
I saw it. It was just like, we got some news for you.
Yeah. Not the best. Not the best. Yesterday was Indie World.
Oot.
Nintendo showing off some... 20 minutes of new indie game reveals and updates, starting with another May 9th game, Little Kitty Big City. Getting a final date, which is exciting because that game looks cute as hell.
I don't think we have to go through the entire list.
No.
But Along with Little Kitty Big City, what are some of your highlights?
I mean, I think it deserves more love than it's getting, but Skim finally getting a date.
Yes.
I don't know why sure, it was in the montage. I get timing with all that, but none of the people are making a big deal of it finally getting a date because I feel like we've heard about that game forever at this point.
I think we probably first learned about it over lockdown at some point.
Yeah, like I think it was part of a PlayStation something. Indie update thing as too. Like, it's wild to me. That is also, is that May?
July
18th. That's a huge highlight for me. Again, Lorelei and the Laser Eyes getting a date May 16th.
Shout out to our friend Jill Grote at the Indie Informer. She has a hands-on preview piece on her website.
Ooh.
Kyle, we may be too dumb for this video game.
You know what? I'd like to try. I'll give it a good old college try. And then I think the other one, besides the big closer, of course, I'm actually really into the game Stitch that dropped yesterday.
Did you pick it up?
I did not. Yeah, I got to wait for the paycheck to hit. Sure. It's like stitching through hoops. Is it crocheting? I forgot which type of stitching it is. But it acts kind of like a
cross stitch.
Like a cross stitch, like a Picross where you have to choose the right number of blocks and it's a puzzle to get the certain colors, and the art is vibrant. I love the logo. I know my oldest niece who loves to do this kind of stuff, so I'm sure she's gonna be all in on it. And then the closer, SteamWorld Heist 2. Maybe not be your type of game as we were discussing, but more SteamWorld is fine by me.
Begs the question, where the hell is Headhunter?
Where is it? I don't know.
It's something we talked about as this was getting revealed. If this was Dig 3, and I understand Heist 2 is first, probably next is Dig 3.
Yeah.
If this is Dig 3, I'd be popping off.
Yeah, absolutely. What about you, Mike? Anything I didn't mention?
I do want to give a shout out to friend of the show, friend of 6-1, Anton Blast. Shout out to Tony getting this Nintendo placement. Anton Blast rules. If you're fans of the old school Wario Land games or something like Pizza Tower, Anton Blast rules. It's a quick, frenetic 2D platformer that, yeah, it's just super fun, super chaotic. Valley Peaks, another look at that. No date on it, though, but a really charming climbing game. Similar mm-hmm. to, sort of similar to Surmount, but more, I don't know, 3D, I guess you want to call it. I'm just moving on. The blip distracted me a little bit. But yeah, more behind the back camera, like 3D open worldy kind of climbing game. Animal Well getting a shout out as well. We're very excited for Animal Well. Duck Detective, The Secret Salami. Love the Happy Broccoli folks. Kraken Academy is fantastic if you haven't played that game.
Mm-hmm.
And loved to see Bzzzt in the montage as well. Bzzzt rules. I played a little bit. It must have been a Steam Next demo or something. I haven't dug into the full version, but it is just such a fun collectathon platformer that, like, just the hours melt away. So highly recommend checking that out when it hits Switch, or jump on Steam if you're one of these deck boys.
Yeah. I do want to, because we pointed at it, and I think we should just prepare everyone when the time comes, if releases.com is going to actually work. The rundown of every game that's coming out on May 9th.
I got you. I have it up already.
Beautiful. Because May 9th is absolutely so stacked.
Let's start with May 7th, because I like to get into, like,
Leading up to it,
because it's still nuts. Mm-hmm. So May 7th is Ventures of the Vile, that 2D platform will be played during Next Fest. Yep. Friend of the show, Masao. Shout out to Masao. Ventures of the Vile, really damn good. Heading out, a lot of people were talking about that during PAX East. I am unfamiliar with what it is exactly, but I know people are really excited about it. May 8th, as we just said, is V Rising 1.0. Of course, there is going to be a lot of folks excited for that. Mm-hmm. And then May 9th, Strip Kitty Big City, Animal Well.
Yep.
Indica moved out of the way, thankfully. Yep. That's May 2nd now. Gift, Crow Country, Rainbow Cotton, Corporation coming to consoles, Vampire Survivors DLC,
and then Pac-Man Battle Royale.
The Pac-Man Battle Royale.
It's a wild day.
It's a big day. And not to mention, like, what do you call it? Oh my God, I'm blanking on the name. Mullet Magic just got a date for May 15th or 16th. Isn't Lorelei May 16th?
May 16th, it's the week after.
Yeah, May in general is quite overwhelming.
It very much is.
Haunty is in May. World of Goo 2 is in May.
Gestalt Seamon Cinder, I think, looks awesome. That's also in May 21st.
Yeah, it's gonna be Nine Souls is at the end of May. I can't wait for Nine Souls, dude.
Lord almighty.
I know a lot of people are excited for Umbraclaw. I didn't click with me all too much, but mm-hmm. yeah. Big old month.
Get those wallets ready, y'all. Shell out everything you've earned for all these indie games.
I thought you were transitioning to the, want me to do the play date thing?
I mean, I was going to transition into it, but go for it.
Okay. Yeah, it's just, you were like, it seemed like your mind just went through a pile of gunk.
Today was a long day, Mike.
Before the show, Playdate just tweeted out that, I'll just read the tweet. A little over a year ago, we launched Catalog for Playdate with 16 titles and our futuristic, quote, crank to buy technology. If you're curious, here's how our curated on-device store is doing. And, Catalog, of course, it's their PSN, it's their Steam, it's their Xbox Marketplace. They just shared some sales data for the past year or so, or just data in general for the past year. 181 total games. $544,000 earned by Catalog developers. The average price of a game, $5.36. Average price during the anniversary sale, $4.50. 1,500 players first bought a game in the Catalog anniversary sale, which, for context, that was a couple weeks ago, I believe. Mm-hmm. And total game purchases so far, 150,000 purchases, like units. Impressive.
Very cool.
The little yellow square that could.
Yeah. Also, a little fun thing on there is the smallest game, 30 kilobytes.
Wild.
That's insane.
Yeah, average game size 5.03 megabytes, biggest game size 107 megabytes.
Which I was trying to figure out which one that was, and somebody mentioned that somebody took a film and made it like one bit and put it on the play date.
Did you see there was a dev that created a playable proposal for his girlfriend?
That's adorable.
Yeah, that was going around over the weekend, maybe.
That's really, really cool.
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah, that this is, the catalog is just like the Playdate curated stuff. Like, this doesn't include like all the itch.io stuff that's available that you could just sideload. Like, Playdate rules, man.
Yeah.
I need to, like, I indulged in the catalog sale a couple weeks ago. I have like at least five or six games I need to delve into, including the new Lucas Pope joint, Mars After Midnight. Mars After Midnight? Yeah.
Mars Needs Moms.
Mars Needs Moms. Yeah, a lot of good stuff on there.
Yeah, I need to play it more. It's also just a product of where I live my life, where it's already dark in this room and the screen isn't the brightest thing in the world. But yeah, when the summer hits, now that I'm working from home, like on a break or whatever, I'll go outside and go play some.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
Get a headlamp.
Yeah, that's a good look, Mike. Let me tell you. This is a good look.
Another blip. Oh man. Big topic of the show is going to be what I've been playing. So why don't you talk about your experience finally checking out Dave the Diver? Are the little indie that could, you know?
The little indie that could, everybody.
But, you know, what is an indie game? So
what is an indie game? I get it. I understand what the hype was. I understand why everyone was gushing over this game when it first came out. Switch and PC simultaneously, I think.
Sure.
I think so. Or Switch a few months afterwards. Anyways, everyone that I talked to, for the most part, absolutely fell in love with it and the gameplay hook. And me being so in love with Dredge, like, there's no way there's another fishing game, quote unquote, that can capture my heart as much as Dredge did. And Dave the Diver's doing it. The loop of diving, catch fish, and gathering materials for like side quests, and then going back up and setting the menu and doing like a full out of restaurant simulator thing, like an Overcooked situation. It's really doing wonders, and I'm really, really curious and excited to see how the sea life changes the farther down we go and the farther down I'm able to make it and longer I'm allowed to stay
spoilers
alive.
They grow toes.
Oh, do they really?
Yeah.
Well, that's
little toe beans.
Wild
little peats.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. I love the very over the top anime style cutscenes when
they're very good.
Like, you know, the chef, I forgot his name, Bancho, I think. Where he's like, you're upgrading dishes, and he goes, it's full on anime Goku Saiyan kind of moments. It's really, really good. It doesn't take itself too seriously, I don't think. There's a lot of mechanics going on too, which I was surprised about. Like, I'm still getting new apps on my phone to check in on side quests and missions and people to call and upgrading guns. And there's a lot to this game. And I'm excited to figure out or to see it all the way through. Really cool that the Dredge DLC was also free because this was part of the PS Plus Essential deal.
Yeah.
And I already downloaded the Dredge DLC, so I'm good to go and experience that whenever it unlocks, when I get to that progression of the story. Yeah, I know it didn't click fully with you.
Yeah, I put like 3-4 hours into it, and I was like, yeah, it's not for me, which is okay. Like,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was grateful it wasn't for me because I knew it like totally took
it feels like a time sink.
Yeah. So I was like, it's fine. I didn't need another time sake. I needed to replay Liza P. I needed to jump back in my new playthrough of Elden Ring. You know what I'm saying?
Well, like, that is the one thing I'm worried about because I now have Dave the Diver, which I'm itching to keep playing. Next week is Tales of Kenzaro Zao. I've got MLB The Show on my mind. I got to finish Rebirth. There's so much to get going on.
You know what I downloaded yesterday also?
What?
They got me. I downloaded Fallout 76.
And that's also like at the back of my mind. I haven't watched the show yet, but
it's good.
Yeah.
And same day as Crab Game is the Fallout PS5 patch, which that's what I'm like, I'm kind of actually waiting for, but I've heard great things about 76 nowadays, so.
It's also, I think, the same day as Stellar Blade, too, so it's a big day.
Speaking of Crab Game, did you see today they put up a side-by-side comparison of, like, Crab and Stellar Blade protagonists and, like, the various outfits, including, like, pretty much fully naked?
Yep.
Incredible.
And even yesterday with Indie Worlds,
yeah,
where there were another Krabs was going through like a canal and Hades and Silksong were on either side. They just understand it. They get it.
Shout out to Nick and that whole development team, but specifically shout out to Paige, the community manager, who like has been, I think, mostly spearheading a lot of the marketing and whatnot. And of course, our friends at Pop Agenda, George, Jen, Nick. Mm-hmm. But Paige in particular, I think she's solely responsible for all the shit posting.
Oh my God. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah. But is the game? I don't know. We're not allowed to tell you.
I know.
Just wanted to cover our asses. Yep. But yeah, the topic of the show is what I've been playing quite a bit of. A little game called Hades 2.
I've never heard of it.
Never heard of it. There's a little indie that could. In the middle of a meeting yesterday that we were both in, I think it was during our company meeting, my email popped and I checked it as somebody was talking and my eyes blew up when I saw you've been invited to the Hades 2 playtest, and I immediately want to drop everything, just pretend like I was like incredibly sick and just play this thing all day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I was a very good employee. I still am a very good employee. I waited until 5 p.m. That's a lie. I waited until 6 p.m. because Kyle had to work late. Mm-hmm. And yeah, me and Kyle got to boot it up for the very first time together. We did, we played 20 minutes together, which is up on youtube.com/61indie. I think it's like one of my favorite things that we've recorded together because it's just pure bliss.
It's just literally like, all it is.
All of it. Just like, no, like, not great commentary or anything. Just like no, yelling, just like, screaming. Oh my God. Oh my God, this
it's
is
gorgeous.
Amazing,
blah, blah, blah. Oh, the music. Oh, that person's hot.
Kyle went away for a second and now Kyle's back. Where do you want to start?
Well, we do have some questions.
We do. Should we just go with questions? Because, first?
I mean, I'll grab one right now is from Justin D at Jushin over on Twitter.
I will say also no spoilers for Hades 1. Like, yeah, let's, no. We'll just talk about our experience so far. And for context, absolutely. I put in, so 20 minutes yesterday with that video, I put in another, I like, so far, I think I put in 2 hours.
Okay. And I've also watched, I watched Bless Play from Kind of Funny a little bit. So Justin writes in, any new weapons?
Yes. So I have, so the technical test, which that's what this is. This is the technical test. We do not have access to the early access version of the game. But the technical test has two weapons available. I've only used the first weapon, which, please excuse me, I don't know any of the names. I'll learn them eventually. But it's essentially a spear.
It's like a witch's staff or witch's spear.
That might be what it is. It might be the something staff. It's like a jabby weapon, has a little bit of distance to it. You're able to, with your strong attack, you're able to shoot out a projectile. Loving it so far, feels great. The other weapon is, it's essentially like a dagger in the left hand and a mini scythe in the right hand. I haven't gotten the material to.
Oh, I was gonna say, like, did you unlock it yet?
Not yet.
I think in game they call them the scissor blades.
Yeah,
scissor something. Yeah.
But so far those two weapons are new. I'd imagine all the weapons are gonna be new. Since it's a
I would
whole new
like
character,
that.
Whole new situation.
That'd be cool. Maybe a last one as like a nod to the first game, like one weapon as like,
yeah, something like that.
But I think the cool thing about how, oh my God, Melanoi?
So it's Melanoi, yeah.
Melanoi. How Melanoi attacks with the staff are the additional like magic attacks that you have at your disposal. I think my favorite one is the like the snare, the lure you put on the ground that can like hold enemies in place and do area of effect attacks.
So compared to the first game, that if we're talking about, I'm gonna just use an Xbox controller since that's what I primarily played it on. The B button in the first game, you would shoot out the little like diamond things, the casts. The cast this time around are like these dedicated spells. So for at least this weapon, I don't know if this is just a thing for Melanoi, if this, or you get to unlock different casts later on. But right now you hit B and a giant summoning circle goes around you and it traps the enemies that are caught inside that circle. If you hold B until like a little meter fills up, it will, like you said, ensnare the enemies and do like significant damage to all of them, which is, it's at the moment, it's a pretty OP move. I'd imagine throughout the test, they're going to tone that down a little bit. Sure. Granted, it's balanced through, like, you, of course, you have your health and you have MP, we'll just call it.
It's so, magic.
So, yeah, magic. So
I think
like in-game
it's called magic with like a K at the end.
Yeah, so magic. So that attack that ensnares and does like the OP damage, it does use magic. So like that's kind of the balance, I guess. So you can't like spam it. The spear, your normal attack with X is like the jabs moving forward that have like a quite a bit of reach to it. And then Y, which is your heavy attack, shoots out little. It's actually pretty similar to what the cast used to be.
Yeah.
Except not limited to two or three. You could just keep doing it.
And what is the move?
Each one of those moves you can hold to use magic and do stronger attacks. So if you hold X, I think it's like a sweeping attack that goes like,
I was going to ask like the
across
lane
the screen.
One.
Yeah, the lane like, one. It like creates a lane in on the screen. And I think the shooting one for Y, it's just a stronger projectile, I believe.
Yeah.
It feels like more versatile, sort of. Like it feels like you have like per single weapon, it feels like you have more to play around with, which is nice.
Yeah. And like I know we didn't experience it in our playthrough, but again, watching Blessing play it, he picked up a power up where you sprint and it like burns away projectiles.
Yeah.
So like any projectiles that come near you, you just sprint around and it just evaporates them, which
that's really
is
cool.
So cool.
I loved the sprinting buff that we got during our playthrough where it was I forgot what boon it was, but essentially sprinting around created like this cyclone that was freezing all the enemies.
Yeah.
Really powerful. I really loved it. The game like does a fantastic job no matter what boon you select so far, at least. Just makes you feel really powerful and makes combat feel super satisfying, which versus Hades 1, granted, technical test versus a full-blown game. I haven't seen everything in Hades 2 yet, whatever. Caveat. So far, like I have boons in Hades 1 that like I always avoid no matter what. So far in Hades 2, there hasn't been a boon that I was like, eh, you know?
Sure. Yeah. And just from, you know, not having my hands on the sticks and just watching you play and other people play, it feels faster. It looks faster. So to compare between Zagreus in 1 and now Melanoi in 2, she just feels more fluid, and you having to be a little bit more on the run, at least in the early stages of this technical test, which I really enjoy. Because I'll be honest, it would have been a little bit of a bummer if she felt similar to Zag.
Sure, yeah.
So I do love how they're different enough, at least.
And honestly, that's what I was expecting. I put up a TikTok on the account earlier. Like, I was expecting just more of... Kyle went away for a second. Now Kyle's back. I was expecting more of just Hades 1, which I would have been totally okay with. But yeah, to bring in another question from Twitter, Graham Reed, shout out to Graham, buy Super Space Club, now available on Steam and Xbox.
Please do.
Is Hades 2 more of the same, but even better than before? Or does it do anything significant to make the game feel like an all new experience? I would say everything we just talked about, like the different abilities and more versatility tied to individual weapons, definitely helps it feel like a fresh experience. The mobility of Melanoi versus Zag definitely feels like a fresh experience. It feels like I'm playing a new character. It feels like I'm not just playing DLC for Hades 1. I would also say the look of the game as well. The game is drop dead gorgeous. Like again, we talked about in the talked about a little bit on Indie Council last night. We mentioned it on the video. It could be because I haven't seen Hades 1 in quite some time, but there's something about Hades 2 so far. It could be just the saturation. It could be the choice of color palette. It could be the shading. It could be the animation. Whatever it may be, like it is doing something that makes the game just pop on screen. It is stunning to look at. It's one of the most beautiful games I've seen in quite some time.
Like, I'm honestly so excited for the day where I can experience Hades 2 on my OLED TV.
And I did that today, my friend.
Oh my God.
With I'm docked on so Steam Deck. It's
jealous of you.
It's wild, man. It is something. I'll say also the other thing, a couple other things that's new to Hades 2. Something we didn't get to experience together, but in addition to your weapon before you go out and run, similar to Hades 1, you get to choose your weapon before you go out and runs. You're able to choose a tool now as well.
Oh, okay.
So I was able to, the first one I have unlocked is a pickaxe, and the pickaxe allows me to go out in the world and gather materials from like stone.
That's probably how you get the silver to unlock
probably,
the blades.
Probably.
Okay.
So that's something a little different as well. Throughout runs, you are actually like foraging for materials and whatnot. Like you'll find, I forgot the names, but you'll find flowers. Ash is a big currency.
Oh, Molly was the flower because we made a joke.
So yeah, to answer Graham's question, like it feels like a new, fresh experience. And again, I'm shocked that this is just the technical test.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting this much. Like I got some like narrative stuff already right before hopping on for the podcast that I was not expecting.
Hell yeah. I'm so excited. To add to how it's different as well outside of gameplay, I love how like all the menus look in this one.
The UI looks great.
Yeah. When you pick a boon, I love how Melanoy is standing there to the side, similar to like Zagreus in the first one. But there's actually like moving parts. Like I forgot the fire goddess.
Sure. Yeah.
Their name. But like ash is falling around Melanoy as you're standing there and viewing it. It sucks you into the game and it's super giant. In my eyes now, can do no wrong. Not that that's been something new to the world. They've always just knocked it out of the park when it comes to the presentation. But they're doing something even crazy special with Hades 2.
Yeah. To add on to the visuals, because you mentioned the gods and the goddesses.
Mario Rivera writes in.
Oh, please.
How many of the characters are mommy or daddy? Thank you.
All. All the above. Even
shout out that headmistress. Oh, boy.
Even those the ones abs? You can't see that are just hooded. I'll say. Hecate.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know, thank you. Kelsey was like, you said it correct, because I made a note in my phone to make sure I pronounced it correctly. she has like a 12-pack.
She sure does.
That too, like so far narratively, I
Nemesis
like the dynamic.
Too? Oh my God.
Nemesis also. I like the dynamic between Hecate and Melanoy.
Yep.
Very like mother-daughter relationship. Again, super light kind of stuff. It seems like it doesn't really tell you too much about what's going on. Like the tagline so far is like death to Kronos. Like that seems like to be your main goal. You're trying to take out Kronos for some reason. Mm-hmm. Like that hasn't been revealed to the player yet. But it has been Melanoy's like lifelong goal due to the guidance of Hecate to take down Kronos. It seems like something happened to Melanoy's mother, who is I believe Zag's sister, because she's the princess of
Melanoy is Zag's sister.
Yeah. It seems like something happened to their mom and like we're just trying to get revenge, but we don't have the full picture yet.
Because mom and dad, what's his face?
Yeah.
Hades.
What? Again, no spoilers for one. But yeah, it's super interesting. A lot of the narrative stuff. But yeah, to go back to Mario's question, everybody. Oh my God, everybody. Like everybody got such an overhaul. It's like really impressive.
Even ones that like popped up from the first game. I'm not talking like the gods and goddesses, but oh my God. The Skelly. Whatever their new name is in this game.
He has armor. He's buff now. Like
he's got like a fake beard on. Like, yeah, oh great. My God, it's so good. I just went all the artwork on my walls. Just like stare at it.
In my time earlier today, I did run into Aphrodite, and as you can imagine, the only thing there is hair. you disappeared. I said the only thing there is hair.
Oh, really?
to cover things. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing.
They know what they're doing. they know what they're doing. But yeah, so far so good. I will say I feel like some of it might be placeholder in terms of the fire goddess, who I forgot the name of, and Karen from the first game. So Charon is also, it has the same just like hooded, like no face model, similar to the fire goddess.
I can't imagine that staying the same.
But like, didn't he have an actual like face and like actual like features?
I don't,
like this feels like a palette swap at the moment.
I don't remember.
Yeah, me neither.
I'm on the first Hades wiki just to familiarize myself with everyone again. Yeah, I don't remember if we actually see their face in the first one.
Doing a quick Google. Yeah. Oh, well, we don't see his face, but he's definitely more defined.
With like the hat and the gold armor.
Yeah, like stuff. He currently doesn't look like that.
No. I mean,
so here, I could tell you. Yeah, I don't know. Just, it's interesting. I do have a picture of his second model. Anyways, we're hung up on that. You got another question for me?
Nothing from Twitter.
Well, I got from our Discord, Silcana, who is in chat. Why didn't I get my technical test invite yet? Don't know. Get good. Soon. It seems like, genuinely, it seems like they're letting folks in a little bit at a time. Even today when I booted up, between like last night and today, I've had two updates. So I'm sure they just want to like iron stuff out, make sure it's all good before they let more folks in. Jester 19 in the Discord, how does it feel compared to the first? How's the gameplay feel compared to the first? I talked about this already a little bit, but it does feel, it's smooth, man. It just feels like butter. Like, this thing feels great. I haven't even, again, like, I'm so impressed that this is a technical test and not like something we're playing for review at the moment. It's smooth, it's fluid, it's impactful. It is satisfying. It is gorgeous to look at as you are attacking folks. Yeah, I can't say enough nice things about it.
Did you get to the boss on your own yet?
I did.
Okay. How'd you do?
I don't want to say who it is.
No, but how'd you do?
I like a sliver. Yeah. Just because she had a AOE attack that like there, I don't know if you saw it on yourself, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like where it goes out a little bit and then it goes back in. I thought in my mind, I was like, oh, I'll dodge through that to get to her. I didn't realize it pumps back in. And like that took out like 20 of my HP.
Again, super giants thinking ahead. They're one step ahead.
Yeah.
They knew you were going to do that.
If I didn't make that mistake, I would have easily got it. Cause like I survived, like that was like early in the fight. I survived for so long and I just got caught with like, it's a very bullet heli, boss.
Okay.
In certain moments. But yeah, it was like a goddamn sliver. I was so mad, but yeah, I was right there.
I can't, you know, adequately speak on it just because it's not like my skill set and I can't really critically talk about it, but your thoughts on the music, Mike?
Oh,
music. I love Hades 1 soundtrack just because it like makes the hair on my body stand on end from hype.
If I may.
Yeah.
The music fucks.
We got it. Put it on the box, Supergiant. You're welcome.
Dude, Darren Korb is just a madman. I like his range and scope and his ability to bob and weave in between genre is just so impressive. And just like, he is just firing on all goddamn cylinders for this score. Even the menu music, like the main Hades 2 theme, I'd imagine is what it is. Holy hell, it is impressive.
Yeah,
like I saw during I Am 8-Bit's restock thing, like you, I am also desperately awaiting payday because I'm quite broke, but they did toss the Hades 1 box set back up for sale. I was like, fuck, I want it so bad. For as soon as the Hades 2 one drops, not even a question. Need it. Is so sonically impressive. Like there is so much happening. It's hard to process just like in the 2 hours that I played, but like, oh my God, just like, yeah.
I don't know what instrument it is from the first one. But like, oh my God, it's the chords or string, whatever it is, the dun, 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 like when you die.
And you're,
like that is so iconic.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite just sounds in any game.
I believe it's a harpsichord or something like that.
Okay. Yeah. Man, music's so good.
It's great.
I love Hades so much.
Pack in the Discord, are there any new systems in place for longer meta progression? There
right,
are.
I was going to ask you about the card system that we stumbled upon.
Yeah. So there is a tarot card system. And when we say card system, it's not a deck builder. Like,
nope.
That is a term and a genre that tends to scare folks like me and Kyle away. But it is not a deck builder. Right before runs, like right before, I think it's right before you enter where you get to choose your weapon and whatnot, you pop on a platform and you can engage. I think it's called you meditate. And 9 cards are displayed on screen, and each of the cards have a certain buff attached to it. Off the top of my mind, I can't tell you what the exact buffs are, but let's say there's like
an additional 20 health, plus 20 magic.
Stuff like that. At least to start out with. I'd imagine later on it's going to get a little more in-depth and more meta, like, you know, like meta progression kind of stuff, like min-maxing, all that kind of shit. So yeah, each card, each one of those 9 cards has, in that TikTok that I put out earlier, I called it a point, like a numerical point value to it. So like, let's say, the plus 20 health has 6 and 20% extra damage has 4. Like that is a total of 10 points. Melanoi has 10 available at the moment, 10 available slots for points. So I could only, so if I want to use those 2 cards, that's all I could use. But let's say there are like, let's say all 9 cards are 1 point each. I could use all 9 of those cards because it's only 1 point and I have 10 available slots.
If I'm not mistaken, I think in game they refer to it as grasp.
Is that what it is? I forgot the terminology.
I believe that's what it's called, but that's, doesn't really matter.
Essentially, this feels like a more, as somebody on competent on the TikTok, it seems like a more improved version of the mirror system. Something that's a little more fluid, something that's like a little less grindy. The way you unlock new cards is just like finding materials ash, in the I world. Think. So like ash was the big one. Like every time I see ash, I'll make sure I go grab it so I can unlock some of these new cards. But yeah, it's a really interesting system. I'm curious to see, like, as you progress through it, to see like what are the new cards. Do you find new cards in the world? Are you swapping cards out in like a deck? Is it some deck building mechanics that are in there that we don't know of yet?
I can totally see them going the route where, again, not spoiling anything for one, it's just a mechanic of by maxing out favor with certain gods and goddesses in 2, you'll earn new cards to add, similar to like keepsakes in 1, where you got to choose different buffs and which ones to use per run. I would love for them to be a ton of cards. Granted, technical tests, there's only 9 slots, so it'd be really cool to have like pages of cards and really having to choose which one's best and fit in the 10 slots available.
You'd imagine that's what they're leading to for 1.0.
yeah.
Something we didn't play together, there's also incantations, which, to be totally honest, I forgot exactly what the buff was, but it's another layer of buffs for your run.
Cool.
And I forgot if there was another thing. Oh, the other system was just the materials and whatnot, but the main thing was that the card system in place, which seems really interesting. And again, like the mirror thing always kind of overwhelmed me. It always felt like so far for the next goal. This seems a lot more attainable at the moment. Like it felt nice that after that first run that like we failed almost instantly, it felt nice I was able to unlock 2 cards to help me with the next run. So it's definitely a lot more, not handholdy, but like it's definitely helping you ease into it a little more. Like it definitely, like it's helping you progress through that first final boss for sure.
Yeah. I do quickly, and we don't have to, we already kind of touched on it.
Sure.
Shout out to them putting a big dude in the game as like a god and goddess.
Yeah.
I think it's Hephaestus, like that character model of a bigger human,
and also in a wheelchair.
Yeah, and like
awesome,
also looks hot. Like it's
it
kind of breaking stereotypes a whole lot about what is, you know, a
beauty standards,
attractive beauty standards. I would love to see more of that in games and just in media in general. It's great. Breath of fresh air.
Jacob McCourt Can you tell us what is playable in early access? I cannot, because this is a technical test.
I will say I only know this because I watched Blessing actually beat the boss. You get a little letter saying, hey, thanks for playing the technical test. Yeah,
you could keep doing that run.
Oh, five times.
Yeah.
That's it. So after five, you're done.
Yeah. But as far as early access goes, we don't.
Yeah, we have zero idea.
Am I playing early access right now? And like, they're just calling it a test. I don't know.
Sure. I'm trying to remember what was when Hades 1 was out in early access. How many biomes were there?
I don't know. I'd imagine like they just kept adding on per update.
Like, sure. Yeah. Like usual. How far it would go though.
Yeah. Like I'd imagine when this game does hit early access, we will get a roadmap and we'll get a better idea of where things are looking. At first, it stopped at Meg. So similar.
Oh, okay.
So this is probably what early access is going to look like, except not stopping you after five runs. I'm sure there's going to be more narrative stuff and more things to keep you busy throughout this first stage of early access. But I do want to go back to that question, but we'll hit Nicholas Johnson first. Does the game indicate if you should or need to play the first one? The game doesn't indicate it, but I'd imagine that you should.
I can totally see them doing a story wrap up.
They probably will. I feel like a lot of people, it feels like everybody and their mother has played Hades.
Or knows at least the premise of it. Or at least
knows the premise of it. I'd imagine there are even more people that have heard about Hades and they're like, oh, let me just jump into this next one.
Yeah.
Granted, the two could possibly scare people away.
Absolutely.
And maybe they will jump into the Hades one. But like if you haven't played Hades one, I would recommend playing it anyways.
1,000,000%.
Especially nowadays. Like there is was a hero mode where you just kind of run through it. God mode, just run through it.
I think that's in this too. I think I saw the option to turn on God mode. So,
just so you're so far, there hasn't been much crossover. Obviously, like the gods and the goddesses, like in terms of boons, there's a lot of crossover there. Obviously, Melanoi is the sister of Zag. Nobody has mentioned Hades or Zag.
There are hints, but never thought you'd be doing this kind of thing.
But it's being very tongue-in-cheek or coy with its narrative. Like, it definitely, like, at least for the technical test, possibly for early access, it's not laying everything out. I'd imagine I'd imagine we won't get the full scope of the narrative until 1.0.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
I did just see, because I had no idea how long Hades 1 was in early access. Hades 1 was in early access for 2 years.
Yeah. I'd imagine it's not going to be this long.
I hope not, but again, just keep cooking. That's fine.
Yeah, like, just do your thing, but
I can wait. It'll be impatient, but I can wait until PlayStation.
I'd imagine they have an infrastructure in place to, like, expedite the process a little bit. Again, I don't mean... it's a
sequel, so, like, build upon what they learned, and the same roadblocks probably will not happen.
Yeah, the core system... the core system, like, combat and whatnot is still very much Hades 1. It's just... evolved. Like, it definitely feels different. It feels fresh, but it's still at its core very much reminiscent of Hades 1. I feel like a lot of Hades 1 early access was learning the ropes and tweaking and really nailing all the systems. Like, I feel like a majority of that is probably done. Now it's just fine tuning and seeing what they could do to keep it fresh. And so far with this first biome, they are hitting the nail on the head. But again, it could take 2 years. It could take 3 years. It could take 5 years. We know as soon as this hits 1.0, it's going to.
It's my game of the year.
It's like, yeah. It's, but yeah, going back to Jacob's question about. First off, is there anything else we didn't touch on, you think? I think we kind of covered all the bases.
We covered all the systems or whatnot. Just briefly, I think the hub world looks super, super cool.
Hub world is super cool. I didn't want to get too far into it.
Footage
is out there, but.
Yeah, it's different enough from one to keep it fresh, but I love that we're allowed to keep, talking with these characters and learning about them a little bit more.
I love kind of the variant of not, it's not a, like literally a variant of this character, but like the type of character. I love the Dusa like character.
Yeah.
In this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Really great.
It's called Dora.
I believe. Yeah. She's fantastic. I feel like she's going to be a fan favorite like right away.
Yeah.
She's super great. Odysseus and I forgot who else was on the other side. They're
Nemesis
super great.
Is there.
Nemesis. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're great. Hypnos is in the corner. We didn't get to see him when we were playing, but Hypnos is there. And when you talk, that's against the narrative stuff.
Yeah.
sorry. The hub world is super great. Overall, man, I'm so impressed. I want to keep playing. I'm excited for early access. Going back to early access, when do you think this is coming out? Because I have my thought and like I'm pretty sure it's what's going to happen based on like how they're
talking about it. Early access, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, SGF.
Yeah, I think it's Shadow Drop it during Jeff's show.
Yep. Either starting the show or ending the show.
Yeah. Because the language with the technical test, they said, like, there's a question of, like, how long is the test going to be available? They said, no, at least a week, but no longer than a month. Guess what's happening in a month?
Yeah.
So, or a little after a month.
It's happening. You know
what I mean? Yeah. So, I'd imagine, like, we are currently playing early access, and the technical test is just to fine-tune a lot of the systems before they put a price on it.
Which, again, I know you touched on it, but I'm just so impressed for a technical test. No major hiccups from what I've seen. Running as smooth as possible, because I've been a part of other technical tests and they have not been smooth.
Dude, I have not seen one frame drop, one slight hiccup, one moment where like an enemy got stuck or I hit dodge and like it didn't dodge or like the frames were weird, whatever it may be. There was nothing. Like, this thing is bulletproof. As far as I can tell, this thing is bulletproof at the moment.
The one thing I just remembered that I think is a cool little additive thing to the combat are the terrain kills.
Yeah,
where you can like attack trees and the trees will fall on the enemies and kill them and do damage. Just adds more to like move around the map instead of staying on spot, which, and use everything.
Quite handy with the boss.
Yeah, absolutely.
Quite handy. I'm glad they give you like 8 to 10 trees to play around with.
Yeah,
it's super dope. Super dope. Yeah, I'm excited to play more. I'm excited to get back to that first boss and get through it. It's not even that hard. I just made a stupid mistake and I was like kicking myself for it. So I'm excited to get through it. And as soon as I like got to the boss and it kicked me back to the hub world, got a really interesting narrative, not cutscene, but like a narrative thing, I guess if you want to call it like a playable cutscene.
Okay.
Trying to dodge things.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd imagine there's going to be some like really interesting narrative threads that are going to be dropping like between technical test and throughout early access. And I'm excited now that I'm a Steam Deck person, especially excited to follow the early access version and like not have to wait for 1.0. Like, I'm excited to just play through as development is going on.
Yeah.
Especially with, again, how bulletproof this feels at the moment. Like, I can only imagine how smooth of a process this early access time is going to be. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited.
Who would have thought? Hades 2, real good.
Who would have thought?
Who would have thought?
I was the one that put this on Fantasy Critic, right? I think you drafted it.
Yeah.
I'm curious if anybody reviews it because it is just one biome. All right, we're assuming it's just going to be one biome.
Yeah. At this point, with us both thinking early access is going to drop in SGF, it wouldn't be too out of left field for them to say early access now, full release this fall. I would not be shocked.
Really?
I wouldn't be shocked. Like, listen, I wouldn't be shocked.
Sure.
But
that'd be crazy if 1.0 hits in fall.
It'd be crazy. But I realistically, probably late next year.
I would say realistically, if we're being optimistic, I would say next
fall. If the first one was 2 years early access and they've learned and have systems in place, a year and a half from early access. So I think
when did Hades 1.0 drop? That was pre-lockdown, right? Like 2019? So they've been cooking for a long time.
Yeah, I think it was Game Awards.
Let's see.
At some point. Yeah, December 6, 2018.
18?
No. Hold on. What's that, early access? 2020.
2020 was 1.0?
Yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, they've been cooking after 1.0.
Yeah, September 17th, 2020.
Yeah, so 4 years. Right, because it was...
I don't think there's anything in between.
No, what was the other... I feel like the game that not a lot of people played, the Pyre. Basketball. Pyre. Pyre wasn't after Hades.
No, it went Pyre, then Hades, and now gotcha. We're on Hades 2.
God, man, Hades 2.
I mean, like, their lineup. Bastion, Transistor, Pyre, Hades, Hades 2. Are you kidding me?
I have to go back and play Pyre.
Same.
I've never, honestly, confession time, I never fully played through Bastion.
I didn't fully play through Transistor.
Same with Transistor, yeah. I remember the reason I never fully played through Transistor, and this is like such a stupid reason. I bought it and I bought it on PlayStation, and the following month it was a PS Plus game. And I was so spiteful about it that I just didn't touch it. I think I played like the first like level or something, but I do want to go back and if there's time, like, you know.
Absolutely. What is time?
Bastion was one of my first Vita games. Like I got like a good chunk through it, but that was like the Vita game next to Crypt of the Necrodancer for me.
I keep scrolling between all their, like, the key art, the capsule art for all of them, and I'm just in awe. Good Lord Almighty. They're so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, honestly, Bastion's probably the worst out of them all, but it's still great.
Oh, yeah. In terms of key art and stuff.
That's key art wise. Key art. Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for saying that.
And if you're curious into how to get into this Hades playtest, if you go to the Hades 2 Steam page, scroll down a little bit, there's a little button to opt into playtest. So free to click, give it a shot. Again, practice patience. Who knows when they'll let more folks in, but give it a shot. I'm sure there's quite the long line as well at the moment, but hey, you never know. Speaking of which, in our Discord, Super Nintendad, Dungeons of Hindenburg, they have a playtest as well.
Oh, cool.
They got opt in for, which I'm going to do as you tell me what's happening this week in Indy.
Before I do that, really quickly, I'm sorry if you hear my nephew upstairs. It sounds like he's in a full stampede right now about me. But I also just want to add, just because I didn't realize how big Supergiant was, the team.
Sure.
23 people.
Yeah, they're Indy, man.
They are stellar at what they do. Very, very good. But Hades 2, when we get to play it, it'll be a few months. It'll be a while.
It'll be in June.
But in this week in Indy, from April 22nd, April 28th, on Tuesday the 23rd, Sucker for Love, Date to Die For comes to PC. Put the love in Lovecraftian horror. Avoid the fanatical cultists and survive dangerous rituals to escape the Black Woods with your life in this 90s anime-inspired visual novel.
I am so excited for this goddamn game. Sucker for Love 1 rocks. Shout out to Caroline and Joseph, friends of the show, over at the team. For Sucker for Love. Sucker for Love is a game that I've played through fully at PAX East. Like, I had an appointment to check out all of the Dread XP stuff, but I just decided to play through the entirety of Sucker for Love for my appointment. It's great. If you like just like dark comedy, absurd comedy, obviously some fucked up elements. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely check it out.
Also on Tuesday, April 23rd, Tales of Kenzaro Zao, PC, PS5, Xbox Series X and Switch. It is also a part of the PS Plus Essential plan.
I was going to say, I didn't know.
No, I think it's cool. It's not a PS. I think you're Essential. Right. Essential is day one for everybody.
Essential is like the new games and Premium is like the retro stuff.
Yes, you're correct. Yep,
cool.
Essential. It's available for Essential folks.
PlayStation, get your shit in order.
Seriously, just call them by the trophy levels. It's not that hard. Wield the Dance of the Shaman. Reclaim your father's spirit. Brave the beautiful and treacherous land of Kenzera with the God of Death and Tales of Kenzera Zao, a Metroidvania-style adventure crafted by Surgit Studios. Stoked. I can't wait.
And full disclosure, I know it's an EA original. It's whatever. We know.
It's a brand new studio.
It's an indie team.
Thursday, April 25th, another Crab's Treasure, PC, Xbox, PlayStation, Switch, in a vibrant undersea kingdom on the verge of collapse. A hermit crab embarks on a treasure hunt to buy back his repossessed shell. The second game from Aggro Crab.
Next week's IndieCast, get your questions in.
Yeah. In case you're just curious, though, it is a Souls-like game.
Yes, it's a crab Souls-like.
So
it's a
light. Wondering why. Yeah. And on Friday, April 26th, Manor Lords comes to PC Early Access. Manor Lords is a medieval strategy game featuring in-depth city building, large-scale tactical battles, and complex economic and social simulations. Rule your lands as a medieval lord. The seasons pass, the weather changes, and cities rise and fall.
I'm surprised you put this one on here. Not our jam. But I know a lot of people.
It's not our jam, but I know it's big. It's going to be a bigger release.
Well, cool, y'all. That about does it for episode 186 of the 6-1 IndieCast. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. If you enjoy this, review the podcast. I've lost track. Drop us a review.
It'd be funny if you just ended it there. If you enjoy this,
cut. leave the podcast a review wherever you're listening. Drop a comment over on YouTube for the algorithm. Give it a thumb up if you like us. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube. Let's hit 1,000 before June 1st. What do you say? Nice little goal.
That'd be cool.
And hey, if you're feeling a little extra generous, head on over to patreon.com/6-1-indie, where you can listen to Clocked Out, the IndieCast post show, which we're going to record right now. But for everyone else, we'll catch you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.